wishing former television personality Johnny Fairplay a happy birthday, reminding folks that you were listening to Kids on Bridges, the official theme snippet for the PW Torch livecast. They have a new album coming out shortly. You can catch it on iTunes. Appreciate their support for the PW Torch and PW Torch livecast. Appreciate your support too. We're joined momentarily. In fact, I think we'll just join him now by your co-host, Travis Bryant.
What's happening, Bruce? Livecast audience, what up?
We're heading into Roadblock, which is quite the name of a show. But heading into Roadblock on Saturday night for WWE as WWE goes on the road to WrestleMania. And so I think I asked you this week, last week, and I remember your answer, but maybe you've changed it. Dean Ambrose dropped Triple H at the end of Raw Monday night. How do you see Triple H and Dean Ambrose for the WWE title ending on Roadblock on the WWE Network on Saturday night?
I think that match is going to end in some way that protects them, their WrestleMania main events.
Well, what does that even mean?
It means exactly what I said.
The WrestleMania main event, by a lot of people's estimation, would be a lot better if Roman Reigns wasn't in it, or if it was a four-way match between Roman Reigns, Dean Ambrose, Triple H, and Brock Lesnar. So would that protect the main event, or do you think it's still going to be Triple H as a strong WWE champion defending against an authority cheater defending against the noble Roman Reigns?
Well, the two singles matches, I think, are still going to be intact. I don't think we're going to get any four-way or any triple threat or anything like that. So Lesnar still faces Dean, and Triple H still defends the title. I just think the finish of the match at Roadblock tomorrow night isn't Triple H clean with a pedigree, because that severely damages the other main event of WrestleMania, or one of the other main events of WrestleMania.
Well, Wade Keller and I just did the first hour of the Bruce Mitchell Audio Show for VIP members, before this show. So we definitely talked about a lot of that. I think Triple H is going to win with a pedigree. I think Roman Reigns is going to have a competitive match, and there's going to be a lot of hope spots. And I think at the end he's going to get shut down. I don't think Brock Lesnar is going to, even though he's on this show, I don't think he's going to be a part of it. I think it's going to be booked pretty basically to keep the heel strong and feed him to our next
heel. Then who cares? And what's the point? Because Brock's going to beat Bray, and then Dean is going to get wiped up by Triple H. Then what's the point of Dean versus Brock?
Well, you could do an angle on Monday night.
That they haven't even talked about for the last 2 weeks.
Well, that's true. I mean, I couldn't believe Monday night. I didn't hear the name Roman Reigns very much. I mean, I'm just like, I've watched the build up to all the WrestleManias, and I just never have remembered a guy in the main event, whether it was Lex Luger or Hulk Hogan or Steve Austin, that 3 weeks out of WrestleMania or whatever, 3 weeks out of WrestleMania, they weren't saying anything about before that. And I know the landscape has changed. WrestleMania, the brand is carrying it, and and the McMahon family is supposedly carrying it, and they feel like they've got the network, and they hit Roadblock, and then they can hit the strong. But I'm surprised at it. I mean, I think you can do an angle with Dean Ambrose and Brock Lesnar on Monday night that puts over Dean Ambrose. You need to give him some credibility coming out of Saturday. And I'm getting tired of seeing the guy get his ass kicked. I don't know why people root for him. I mean, he just walks blindly into Ambrose and gets stomped. I mean, that's not scrappy, I guess, as Wade said, but it's I think that I think you still can do something with him and Brock Lesnar, because Brock Lesnar doesn't sell for too many people. So if Brock Lesnar sells big for Ambrose going into WrestleMania, then I think the match will be fine.
Yeah, they also had Dean Ambrose after taking that pretty vicious beating the week before. I was going to say about Ambrose, after taking that pretty vicious beating the week before, he seemed very satisfied with him with the one move and celebrating as the show went off. I was like, Triple H already set up the announce table, throw his ass on it, and, beat the crap out of him.
Well, maybe we'll see that, Saturday night. But, yeah, the psychology was a little off. You're right about that. I mean, maybe he thought he knocked him out. But, I mean, I think there's something there. But I do think that, Ambrose is getting over in the role that he's playing better than Roman Reigns. And, of course, it helps him that he's not, you know, he's not seen by the fans as being shoved down their throat as the next, you know, corporate champion. And also, he cuts a better interview. He might be, I mean, he might have more charisma than Roman Reigns. I would argue that he does, and he's a better wrestler. Besides from that, it's pretty even.
Besides from that, little, small thing.
Yes. I do want to take a second. If you haven't had a chance, this is on, if you're a listener, if you're a VIP member, you've had a chance, but also if you're one of our, you know, loyal listeners or a livecast regular, on the free site on the PWTorch.com is my column from 2 weeks ago about the match between Roy Wilkins and Trevor Lee that went an hour and 44 minutes. And there's a link to the match. Lots of folks have been watching this and commenting on it. And I know that it's gotten a very good reaction. And you also hear, you know, every once in a while we have Brad Stutz on the show and you can hear him doing commentary, and Wade Keller, you know, said that a lot of folks have been liking Brad as far as a commentator goes. And I'm not surprised at all. And as I told Wade, well, I heard him doing the commentator because he's got a big mouth. So it's, you know, you could hear him like excitedly calling the action from where I was sitting. But, want to give people a chance to, like, you want to check that match out, a unique match. And I thought a great match, and I was there. And I was there sitting on the front row, so it wasn't hard to do in a lot of ways. But I mean, it was packed house, and it's worth seeing. And you know, I talked about Trevor Lee as an up and coming star in this business, and I think very much he was there. And it's not a high spot until you're sick and tired. It's a very well put together match, and seemed to work. So I still can't believe I saw a match that long that worked that well. So. We'll give people a chance to do that. Plug your stuff too. I know Flash is getting stronger and stronger from what I'm hearing.
Yeah, they're on a spring break. We've actually had to do a few spring break shows where we talk about something other than. But yeah, check out those spring break shows. You can find the show at southcongress.com. Okay, and that's South Congress with a K, southcongress.com. Wherever podcast lives. Live, iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, whatever platform you use, you can search South Congress Fan by Fan Show. Again, that's Congress with a K. And also on Wednesdays, me and Cam also do the East Coast Cast live call-in show for a few hours. Lots of hours, actually. Every Wednesday starting at 6:30. So right after pretty much the live cast ends, we jump in and take you to damn near midnight. So EastCoastCast.com is the way to find that show, and SouthCongress.com to find the other show.
And you'll be buying everybody drinks in Dallas, am I right, in the next 2 or 3 weeks? Like anybody who comes who's a listener of the Friday livecast and identifies themselves to Travis Bryant, you'll be buying their drinks. I think, didn't you say that on Twitter? I mean, isn't that part of the deal?
I'll order their drinks from the attendant or from the waiter or waitress. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, very nice. Very nice shot. All right, you ready for some calls?
Yeah, let's talk to some folks.
All right, we start with this guy a lot of weeks. I'm Darrell from Georgia. How's your weekend looking?
Going okay. Going okay. Just listening to you guys before I step out and head out for the night. I'm in. How are you guys doing today?
Doing all right. Got some new comics. You know, I'm doing all right.
Okay, you still haven't checked out that Dark Knight 3.
Oh, okay.
He got the first Dark Knight. If you got the first Dark Knight, you're in good shape. I mean, did you read that, Travis? Did you read that?
No, and that's the point, because Cam told everybody, because of how I am, Cam sent the book, as you saw, Bruce. And,
yes.
You know, it's just been sitting around for a week. I've read other things. And it's just so dense. It's like, it's kind of intimidating. Those panels are tiny, and I'm like, what, am I supposed to, like, sit and read this freaking comic novel? So I'll get to it.
You know what? I'm going to tell a true story. About 2 or 3 weeks ago, one of my old third graders, who's now about to graduate from high school, and I worked with his mom and taught with her, and great kid, cool guy, and a year or so ago, I saw him in the comic store with his dad. And so, I made some recommendations there. And then I hooked up with him, and we went over two or three weeks ago, and I said, you need to have – he's a Batman guy. And I already got him Killing Joke, Alan Moore and Brian Bolland. So Dark Knight Returns by Frank Miller, the original one. And bought it for him as a gift. And then he texted me about 2 days later going, this is the best Batman story I've ever read. Now, I'm pointing Jay out because – he hasn't graduated from high school yet. I mean, he's going on to college and all that. But it took him about 2 days to read this, Travis, to read this trade paperback. I'm just saying. I mean, come on. And it is like one of the best comics ever. And it's also right up your alley in certain ways. I'll just put it like that. So, but here's what you can do, though. If you're reading it and you get confused, call on me. I'm here to help. Or I'll get Jay on this. I'll get Jalen to give you a call.
Okay, I was just asked on Twitter to ask if you've peeped any of Rat Queens. Are you familiar with that?
No, I haven't, but I heard a guy talking about it at the store. I guess that's pretty good. I guess the indie thing I got this last week was Daniel Close's new book, and that was Patience, and that was good and weird, and that's what Klaus is. Daniel Close is definitely good and weird, so that was my newest thing.
Yeah, well, I have the Rat Queens trade, the first volume, and again, I still haven't gotten to that, but it looks fantastic. Just a little bit, the theme, the concept, and the fact I'm drawn to female characters for whatever reason. So it's four of them, and they're all different, and that's the whole gimmick. They're different body types, different ethnicities, and all that stuff. But it looks awesome. It looks vulgar and violent and right up my alley.
There you go. I'm glad you got Ant-Man. I mean, I know that this show, we just drove it into the comic book ditch.
Yeah.
But I'm glad you got Ant-Man. Anything by Nick Spencer, those Ant-Man books are great. And Nick Spencer's Superior Foes of Spider-Man is like one of my favorite things Marvel put out in the last 10 years. I mean, he's really got a knack.
I read the first one, and they got off to a great start. There's an app called Hench. Where you put in who you want to fight, and it's algorithm by, you know, his powers, where previous fight history, it'll send like henchmen or foot soldiers to go like beat the guy up for you, and it's all filmed, and you can watch your nemesis, you know, demise on this app. So it's really current and modern, and I'm really excited about it.
The Ant-Man character from the movie, I mean, they do a better job in the comics. I like the movie, but they did a better job in the comics with that. But anyway, Darrell, I didn't mean to hijack your call. Let's pull it back to you. Oh, he did bring it up.
It's no problem at all. Enjoy hearing that. Got three questions. I'm going to just go ahead and ask them right off bat. Bruce, have you ever seen any main event guy, I said you brought a Roman Reigns, that's been hidden from the main scene around the time when you should be promoting this guy for the biggest show of all time, WrestleMania, or just your biggest show of the year? That's the first question. Second question is, pertaining to Roman Reigns, and also is, I know people always say they think he'll come around or think he'll be a better heel. What happens if he never comes around and he's not a better heel? How does that send the WWE to? Do that set them back a couple of years or what? And last question, since they already announced WrestleMania 33 in Orlando, do you think they have to spend the next year selling stories and building stories and guys to sell that WrestleMania since they're coming up with everything now? And that's my three questions.
Darrell, I've never seen someone not talked about or kind of hidden away as much as Roman Reigns has been the last couple of weeks, and I'm still have all the faith in the world. That's the guy they're pushing. I mean, and they need to. They spent 2 years, 2 years and more getting him set up for this, and if he doesn't make it, then they've really spent 2 years and a lot of resources. And in vain, and that is part of promoting entertainment acts, part of promoting sports is taking that gamble and seeing whether it plays out for you or not. I just don't get, Travis, why people think a guy who's not getting over as a babyface would be a great heel. You know, I don't know whether he would be a, I don't know if he'd be a better heel or not, but I don't see
have
it
you,
in him.
Have you seen his heel work in NXT? Or
you know, I have to say I haven't. I mean, I saw his heel work in the Shield, but I didn't think. I mean, he was just part of a team.
Well, he didn't get to. No. I'm talking about him as a singles heel get to be heelish and interviewed and talk that talk.
Yeah. So tell me about it.
Oh, he's just this is years ago, probably 4 years ago or so. It's just him in a suit getting interviewed by diminutive interview person, and he's just a cocky jerk who's entitled, and it's just like, oh, if this guy had been being developed and for the last 2 years, that would be, yeah, they'd probably be ready to make a ton of money with him right now.
No, I mean, I have heard, I've talked to Rob Naylor and heard him talk about it too, that who worked there as the assistant to the late Dusty Rhodes, that Roman Reigns' promo work that wasn't shown on NXT was far superior than what he does now. So, I mean, maybe so. I mean, maybe he would, but I mean, that'd take a whole other casting. I've always, you know, always just look at Hulk Hogan. Hulk Hogan and Hollywood Hogan, it's pretty much the same act. And it worked and it got over. It had the right, you know, it took him from being pretty cold to being pretty hot. And it had the right context in the wrestling war and everything. And in the NWO had Nash and Hall and Eric Bischoff to really help. But it, you know, I don't know. I mean, that's there. But, you know, what happens if this doesn't work out? They spent 2 years on picking talent that their fans don't want. And that's not a good thing. And, you know, no promoter has 100% thing, but WWE has always found, you know, Vince McMahon has always found that one guy, you know, that one horse to ride. And his father found him, too. And you know, John Cena's not the top of that, but John Cena's more successful.
If you check the live cast email, our good pal Rich from Pittsburgh just sent the link to that heel promo. So if you want to, after the show's over, just, you know, click play.
I will.
There.
Cool. Yeah, cool. Good deal.
Or watching on the show, you know, listening to your reaction.
No. I think that gets us into some copyright issues. Unless I miss my guess. And also, me trying to produce this show while I'm trying to watch a YouTube video. While I'm trying to get my email together. Yeah, exactly. So, now, you can't mock me today because you're the problem today. I've done a superlative job. All right. Our friend Colin from New Jersey, another regular caller, VIP member. Colin, what have you got for us?
Hey, Bruce. Hey, Travis. Hope you guys are having a great day.
Doing all right, yeah. What's on your mind?
Not much. I hope I will provide you with an interesting question. Here it is. With their impending debut now on the main roster as opposed to NXT, from what I'm hearing, will the team of Doc Gallows and Carl Anderson defeat the New Day for the tag titles if they do not lose to the League of Nations?
I have a feeling that Doc and Anderson might be Shane's way of winning.
Might be what?
Only Shane's way of beating The Undertaker.
Oh, huh.
My only drawback to that, or think that might not have a chance, is because it's Doc Gallows and Carl Anderson, and they're not going to get, oh my God, it's you know, for lack of, you know, it's not Buff Bagwell and Lex Luger, you know, just names that, you know, that's a terrible example.
Can you imagine Shane McMahon is the one who brings in the Bullet Club? That's hilarious. That's right up there with Stephanie McMahon with the. With her beret, her ECW beret on.
Yeah. But at least Shane's not Mr. like super mainstream. If you're not WWE, you're not anything. I mean, he's an MMA guy. He understands star power outside of the context of WWE, right?
Floyd Mayweather, he was part of that. I think, as I recall, he helped get Mike Tyson.
I just mean, I don't even mean from that standpoint. I just mean from a combat. You know, like he's the MMA fan. You would think maybe he's probably the one. If anybody in that family is familiar with the Japanese scene, I just mean a name, Shinsuke Nakamura or Okada or Tanahashi. It would be Shane that knows those. Would be like, oh yeah, and could picture who they are or their gimmick in his head as someone says, "Do you know who such and such is?" He'd be the one. So I don't think it's as absurd. No? Oh, okay. I mean, maybe not. That's my...
I mean, I don't know about that. I mean that literally. I mean, I don't know. I'm not saying it's not true, but I honestly, I'd be surprised. But yeah, I mean, right now he's got... Shane McMahon's got a little bit of indie cred, I guess, because he's the favorite. He's the favorite McMahon right now with the crowd, which is what he's supposed to
be. I think Shane's arrival is probably timed very good because, and we'll see next week if the crowd turns on him a little, because I would, because he looked like a chump out there. Not a chump, but he made the situation look very chumpish with those punches and that offense. Does Shane not know how to throw a work punch? Like, does he not know how to throw forearms? That in a wrestling context wouldn't look so hokey and dope.
Well, if he did, he hasn't been doing it for many years, and it's not like he did it all the time in the first place. I mean, and he's 46 years old.
I'm just thinking this Shane wave, it'll crescendo perfectly at WrestleMania, because if he showed up sometime at maybe the Royal Rumble or something, it would I think that would be a month, a month or 6 weeks too. You know, too long. So I'm interested that next week or the next time he's on. I wish he had a solo, because I think the next show he'll be on, Undertaker is going to be there as well. So you won't be able to really judge how, you know, because it'll be some Taker, pro Taker stuff that'll just inevitably take away from him a little. I just wonder how the people, crowd is going to react after seeing. You know, that 30 seconds, minute of him, getting physical. And they go, oh, wait, that's what we're going to see at WrestleMania? Maybe I shouldn't be so excited that Shane's back.
Yeah. Could be. Definitely could be. All right, let's move to another caller. This is 434. You're up next on the PW Torch Livecast.
Hey, it's Johnny from Virginia. How's it going?
Oh, my God. Happy birthday, Johnny from Virginia. Speaking of 46, aren't you the same age as Shane McMahon?
I'm 42 today.
Oh, 42, okay.
Yeah, thanks, butthead. So right before you guys came on, I was listening to a show on Opie and Jimmy Channel, and they were talking about all the comic book stuff, and they said the best Batman thing is Batman The Dark Knight Returns animated series. It's a two-part deal, and that's where the good stuff they've been stealing from these movies are coming from. So there's something to check out Batman-wise.
Well, I mean, that comes from Dark Knight Returns, and that was a phenomenon. I mean, I've watched the previews, and, you know, Johnny, we've had this conversation off the air that you watch the previews of Superman versus Batman, and it seems like you've pretty much seen the movie, but Ben Affleck's Batman is very much reminiscent of, very much inspired by Frank Miller
Can someone explain to me why the movie doesn't go like this? Hey, I'm Batman. I don't like you, Superman. Okay, well, I'm Superman. I don't like you, Batman. Punches a hole through Batman's chest, and the movie's over.
Yeah. They are throwing him in outer space, and it's done.
Well, the best Superman writer is a guy by the name of Mark Waid. He's one of the best comic book writers there is, and knows his Superman backwards and forwards. And he wrote his own character that was thinly veiled. Superman has a bad day, kills about a million people, and then just turns completely bad. The first thing he does before anybody knows that he's killed a million people is kill Batman. Just snaps his fingers and kills him because he knows what it is. So yeah, that's definitely been thought of. And you know, even when you're the best Batman and Superman fight is in Dark Knight Returns. But even when you're reading that, you're just going, yeah. I mean, the problem with Superman, he pretty much whacks anybody, and you wonder why he does it. So yeah, that's part of comics, I guess.
Well, there's people, because that's my argument, and Cam hates it. So he shared, or somebody shared, a panel from this one Batman thing, and Batman saying, you know, I know he's a good person, and I'm not. So basically, no, I have the edge, because he won't kill me, because he's a good person, and I'm not. And that's Batman speaking.
I think the phrase is Boy Scout, but yeah, that's part of it, too.
All right. What else, Johnny from Virginia?
All right, Johnny from Danville. What have you got wrestling-wise?
All right, real quick. Well, it is my birthday, as you mentioned. I got a happy birthday message from Pete Gass from the Mean Street Posse, and I said all I want for my birthday is a run-in from the Mean Street Posse at WrestleMania, and he said call Shane because he hasn't called me. So that's not a good sign. For all of us hoping for that Mean Street Posse pop at Mania, that will be loud.
I was about to say that might be a good sign, but yeah.
No, it's not. It's horrible, Bruce. It's horrible.
No, it's a good sign. Take my word for it.
I want three guys in sweater vests getting choke slammed. So,
oh man.
Anyways, as far as the Balor Club and their introduction, I don't know why. I'm just sensing a Balor Club Wyatt family showdown probably the night after Mania, and that's when that'll take place. That's just a hunch on this end.
Could be. Could be. All right, Johnny. Call me if you need bail money. All right,
hey,
good.
Hey,
he's hey, and let me come back. Yes, Johnny.
Oh, am I ruining the round table, or I'm sorry, am I making it so that the round table tomorrow night is Pat, Todd, Martin, and Wade, since they're coming to my birthday party at 7 o'clock?
I thought you weren't supposed to know about that.
I don't know.
Well, I mean, you know, I'll be there from 7 to 7:30, then I can watch the show, so, that'll work. We'll see.
Oh.
You're not supposed to know about that. I thought that was the big secret.
It is a secret.
All right, anyway.
I'm excited for all the listeners that get Pat, Todd, Martin, and Wade after the after Roadblock. So congratulations.
We'll see.
I'm actually all right, let's go to a surprise party right after this.
Man, all I'm trying to do is get through the next 30 minutes. I don't know what I'm doing tomorrow. I'm just like, that's how my life works on Friday night. So we'll see. We'll see how all this goes. So, all right, where was I going? Oh, there was something else, too. But anyway, Mike from Brooklyn, you're up next on the PW Torch Livecast.
What's going on, fellas? What's good, Bruce, Trey? How y'all doing?
What up, Mike? What up?
Just pretty much, really quick. Do y'all think Enzo and Big Cass is probably going to win over the NXT title tomorrow night?
I hope so.
Well, I'm a Dave Johnson guy, so no, I hope not. I like the mechanics. I like those guys. There's some of
out of here. Get it on a team that I can care about.
They're a local guy. One of them is. So, but yeah, but you think that's going to happen? They're going to do it on the show, Mike?
Yeah, I think, I mean, it's overdue. I mean, they by far probably the popular, it has been consistently the most popular team in NXT for about like a year now.
That's true. You think they're going to get the strong reaction from a WWE crowd that they get from NXT? You think that this crowd's going to know exactly how to react to them? I mean, I think they might. And I think that's going to be a test of what kind of fans go to WWE shows now.
Well, they better get their run in. They better get their run in as a popular tag team, because the American Alphas are on their heels as far as, you know, popularity.
Yeah,
I thought the American Alphas were in WCW when I heard that name. What a great name.
Yeah, I hate
it. Oh, American Alpha. That was another great name that just really, you know, made you sit up as soon as you heard it. So what else you got for us, Mike?
First being, do y'all think Roman will do a running on tomorrow night, or y'all think they'll hold him off until Raw?
He might be at Raw.
Where does he fit running in for who? For Ambrose to still lose? Then what was the point?
Well, the point is, and then later on, Reigns wins, and Ambrose is mad at Reigns beats Triple H at WrestleMania, and then that's the reason why Ambrose turns on him, because he screwed up his chance to be the to beat Triple H and be the WWE champion. I don't think that's going to happen, by the way. I don't think that he's going to I don't think that Roman Reigns is going to be there tomorrow. Now, I don't have any inside part to that, but I'd be surprised. I think it's going to be just a straightforward match.
Yeah, I don't know. I see either Roman or either Brock. Something happening to that effect.
I mean, Brock definitely is there. So, I mean, I know people are going to be looking for that. And I could be wrong.
And my last question, Bruce, going old school. When Ric Flair left WCW back in 91, was Barry Windham supposed to get the title, or it was always designed for Luger to get the title?
Well, the plan was for Luger to beat him. I mean, and then Ric Flair's contract came up, and Jim Herd was really lowballing him, and also Jim Herd had wanted him to change his name to Spartacus, talked him into getting the famous mullet cut, which he wasn't happy with, and I don't blame him. And also just was messing with him back and forth. Herd was kind of out of his league back in those days. And so Flair had enough and quit and said, you know what, instead of the next television, instead of just leaving this with Luger, I'll just lose to Barry Windham. And offered to lose to Barry Windham, and Herd said, you know, screw you, you're fired anyway. Just send us the belt. And Flair, Herd didn't realize that Flair outright owned the big gold belt at that point, and that's why it turned up on television. So, yeah, Barry Windham was in line in the sense of Flair, Flair was willing to go to the next television taping and lose it right then to him, and acrimony between him and Jim Herd, WCW boss, meant that it didn't happen. But the plan had been all along for Luger to Lex Luger to beat Flair cleanly, finally, and be that next champion, and just didn't turn out that way. And then you had the famous "We Want Flair" Great American Bash in Baltimore, where Barry Windham and Lex Luger had their match that people hated, and they hated the whole show, and kind of put. It was a big black eye for WCW. It took him a long while to get past.
Okay,
kind of amazing
okay.
to think that. Yeah. So I'm kind of amazed at that. All right, Mike, appreciate the call. If you are on a Skype number or a international call, you're up on the PW Social Live.
Okay, yeah, it's Finn from Finland. Hi.
Appreciate the call.
I've called Wade a couple of times. I don't think I've ever called you, so I can say this. A long-time listener, first-time caller.
Nice.
Appreciate that.
All right. A couple of things. After watching Raw and SmackDown, I'm really excited for that Shane versus Vince McMahon match. You know, they're really hyping that. Great job.
Yeah, I want to see it. I'm with you.
Yeah. Well. Anyway, and SmackDown has been really great. So anyone who hasn't been watching it really should make the switch. And I would even argue you don't maybe need to watch Raw every week. Just watch SmackDown. It's the better show.
What's good about SmackDown? What do you like about SmackDown?
It's shorter. Number one.
Lord knows it. Sold.
And
but what else?
Announced teams better, and then I really like this last episode. They gave microphones to guys like Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens, and Neville. So So that's not happening on Raw.
Yeah.
So
yeah, sometimes yeah.
Good reasons.
There are good reasons. That's cool.
Okay, and finally, this is just something I've been thinking about for a while now. What if, because nobody's talking about the Andre the Giant Battle Royal so far, so what if that becomes the like Wyatt family show, but at the end, instead of Bray Wyatt wins, the other guys turn on him and take him out for a while, and he comes back as a face? Because I think it might be... might be in the cards for Bray Wyatt.
Yeah, not yet. That, again, who? I mean, I don't care about him as a heel. I don't know if I'd care about him as a face, especially if he has to come back to fight his own cult members that turned on him. For what? We don't have, there's no built-in storyline for why. There's no friction between them. My call for the battle for that is to have all four Wyatts last until the end, and then the three leave and Bray over the top rope willingly, and Bray wins.
I can see that. Yeah. I mean, that's more cultish.
Yeah,
that could be there.
They knock all the big guys out. Big Show, you know, Kane, Mark Henry, and then them four at the end, and Bray gives them the signal, and they all step over the top rope and jump down, and matches over. Bray Wyatt's your new Andre guy.
Yeah, I'd like to see something like that, in that I'd like to see every year that battle royal be used to highlight one act or put over a team. And I could see Ryback being it, the way they seem to like Ryback right now, but or at least they seem to be pushing him again somewhat. But that would be, I mean, that would give you a story. I like Wyatt family better. That would give you a story for the whole thing, which is the Wyatts versus everybody else. And
look, have Ryback talk big, tough talk the whole week leading up to it. I'm going to throw every member of, you know, I have to specifically say Wyatt family, but I'm going to throw everybody over because the big guy, blah, blah, blah. And then it's five guys left, four Wyatts and Ryback. And, you know, they can even, go ahead, Ryback, you can prove yourself right now. And he goes, gives the double hand wave, screw this, and jumps over the top rope and walks his fast Ryback walk back up the ramp, and then my thing happens when the other three leave and Bray wins. And then I think that's a lot of heat for Ryback. Like, what a punk, what a big mouth, all the muscles, and he couldn't, you know, go out like a champion. He might not have, you know, taken all of them out, but he could have gotten in a couple good hits and thrown one or two out, and what a coward. And yeah, some heat for Ryback.
Yeah, that definitely served both
purposes. Or people would go, or JBL will ruin it and go, I wouldn't have fought him either. Ryback did the smart thing, lived to fight another day. Who cares about the Andre Battle Royal trophy in the meantime?
Right, yeah. Yeah. The other thing I would do is just every year, whoever the biggest new guy is, every year I'd have him win the Andre the Giant Battle Royal. I was glad that they had Big Show win, because, I mean, shouldn't he win the Andre the Giant Battle Royal? He is this generation's Andre the Giant, for better or for worse. And, you know, so have his name on there. And then, you know, so anyway, just have the next big guy do it. Have the Wyatt family big guy do it this year. And no one would remember next year. So, you can definitely go that. All right, we're going to go to our friend, loyal listener, VIP member, the contributor to the show, Jason from Australia. Jason, how are you?
Yeah, good, Bruce. Well, I was actually going okay until about 10 or 15 minutes ago, because it's now dawned on me that I actually share a birthday with Johnny.
Oh, my God. Happy birthday, Jason. So what semi-famous celebrity name are you going to drop during this call? That's part of your birthday. There you go. That's perfect. And me and Pete Gass, I think Pete's, you know, about two steps ahead of me in the celebrity world, but not too many steps ahead of me. So happy birthday, Jason.
No, I appreciate that anyway. Yeah, look, just what I wanted to touch on was, it's more of a big picture question, I guess. You know, moving forward, I think one of the bigger talking points, and I know you brought this up before, is the WWE's next television deal with USA Network. Because, you know, the way that I see it, they are pushing YouTube. And Jason and Wade brought this up on an after show a couple of weeks ago. They were talking about how, if you want to watch Raw, realistically, more and more people are going to YouTube and picking what they want from the WWE YouTube channel. So, you know, the way that I see it, Bruce, is you've got this television deal coming up. You've got 10 million subscribers on the YouTube channel, which is a phenomenal number, but you've got 1 million network subscribers. Now, if they only increase that by 5%, if they can convert 5% of those to network subscribers, all of a sudden that's an extra 500,000 people per month. So I guess just looking at the numbers, Bruce, how do you see this playing out? Does the relationship between maintaining a significant amount of revenue with a TV rights deal, but also the relationship between the network and the YouTube and how that's taking numbers off one another? I just think it's very fascinating from a business point of view moving forward.
Well, I think it is too, but I think people still, the primary content provider is Monday Night Raw, is SmackDown. Everything else, including the network, is ancillary. And, you know, Hulu, you get later on, the majority of the show. But I think that, you know, for all these other things, if you want a little more content, if you want another interview, if you want something there, or, you know, if you can find it somewhere that's not authorized, and that's not anything. If you look at, it's still, W Network is really important, but it has not replaced, and it's going to be a long time, I think, before it does, even with the numbers you're quoting, before it replaces, you know, cable television. And then you need some place for new fans to go. You need some place for new fans to be created. I mean, W Network, you know about W Network because they hype it on cable television. So it is really interesting. And it is, I mean, one of the things about this new contract, when the new contract comes up in a few years, is where everything stands on television. You know, is WWE's, you know, does WWE's rating right now or 2 or 3 years from now, you know, against it, does it stand in context and still look strong even though they've lost a significant part of the audience? Or is it that it's looked at like a fading franchise or fading television show and it's hard to, you know, not a lot of people want it. And, you know, not a lot of networks want wrestling. So, it's really interesting. I think that WWE is taking, is taking a big chance, and they need to get back in step with their audience they need to get back in step with who their audience is, and they need to draw some casual people. And, I think that one of the things that they don't seem to understand is the casual fans are rejecting Roman Reigns because they're not coming on board with it. The new fans aren't coming on board with the guy.
Well, and the thing is, I mean, I believe it just begins and ends with the 3 hours. I mean, because you have hardcore fans that are struggling to watch 3 hours. You name me a casual fan that's going to stop and watch a show that they think, oh, well, I can take it or leave it, you know, each and every week. Who's going to watch that for 3 hours? I mean, I've always believed that most of their problems begin and end with the overexposure of the 3 hours. But, you know, you move back to that YouTube number, 10 million subscribers. I mean, even if they can get, and they got 1 million network subscribers, so you've got people that are used to that going online, you know, digitally watching their content. I mean, even if they can convert 500,000 of that 9 million, that's the difference, it's an extra $60 million of revenue per year. So I think internally they're thinking, how can we convert those YouTube subscribers to paying subscribers on the network? Because that's going to mean a lot to their bottom line.
Well, you're right, but, I mean, who has taken a YouTube channel and converted that into pay? You know, who has done that? I don't know anybody that has.
The platform to do that or to for that question to be, even be asked. Like, WWE is in a unique position that they could do that.
Yeah, I mean, no, I'm not saying they can't. I'm just saying it's a new thing. You know.
Yeah, totally.
It's a new thing, and how, you know, do you, you know, and you're watching things on YouTube piecemeal, WWE YouTube Network piecemeal, and so, you know, you hit an advertisement. If you want to see more of this, you've got a better platform on cable television, it still seems to me, very much seems to me, so I don't know, but you're right, but you still need that Carnival Barker pulling people into the network tent, pulling people into even the YouTube tent. And that's going to be, that's going to be cable.
Yeah, sorry, Bruce. I was just going to say that there's a lot of there's a lot of moving pieces. I mean, I'm just thinking from a business point of view because, you know, I believe the WWE may have not burnt themselves, but I don't think they're in a good position to negotiate for a higher revenue stream for the TV networks. So I believe they'll still get something, but I think it'll be significantly lower due to the fact the ratings have decreased. and what cable television is prepared to pay for content moving forward, especially since they realise that the WWE aren't sport and you don't have to watch them live. And because people, more and more people, I believe, are going to YouTube and watching what they want, because it's almost become the fact that their segments are sort of like niche within their own show. I think it's something they really have to look at moving forward and how they're going to make up for that loss of revenue.
Yeah, I agree with you. I very much agree with you. So what do you see for Roadblock tomorrow night?
Well, you know, I mean, look, I think they've done a really good job of building the story that Dean Ambrose could win the title. My concern with it is that they've actually done this before with Ambrose. Like JBL and Jerry Lawler have said, well, imagine if Dean Ambrose won the title, you know, we could have another Attitude Era. They've actually used language that has sort of given a hint to fans of Dean Ambrose that if he wins, things could be changing. But ultimately, Dean Ambrose has failed again and again and again. You know, he's lost about four or five title shots. I think they're going down a very dangerous road of almost, building up fans' hopes and not delivering. And I think they're not going to deliver again. Now, but here's the other thing, Bruce, that I was thinking about. You look at UFC, massive upsets with Nate and Tate winning, and all of a sudden that's thrown that world into, like, you know, it's not chaos, but things are different now. Imagine the hype that would get out of Ambrose actually defeating Triple H. You move into WrestleMania, all of a sudden I think there'd be a genuine amount of excitement about what's next. So I don't think it'd be the worst thing in the world if you want to build that anticipation.
I think a lot of people are going to be looking for that. I think a lot of people are hoping for that. I don't think they're going to get it. But, you know, one thing about Diaz beating McGregor and Tate beating Holmes is that those losses have consequence. Those wins have consequence. And I'm a believer, you know, it threw everything into chaos, but I'm a believer, particularly if Ronda Rousey can get her act back together, that the women's side was set up beautifully, that – you know, that first you have a fight with Rousey challenging to regain her title against a fighter everybody knows that she can beat and probably would beat, and then the next fight is, you know, is the renewed champion Ronda Rousey against the one person who's beat her before, and you know,
right.
those are two really good money fights.
Can Holm take the title from Ronda twice? Would be just
right. I mean, that's huge. I mean, so I think that's an example of the upset create. And I know other people disagree with this, but the upset creating, creating storylines, creating places to go, creating big money fights. And I think Conor McGregor losing then becomes the story. How does Conor McGregor? How does that cocky bastard deal with it? And so you root for him on the comeback trail, or if you're one of those people who want to see him get stomped, you want to see him get stomped. So, I think that stuff, and I think that goes to there's not this immediacy of the title could change hands and things could be different in WWE. And, you know, there's people are hoping against hope that Ambrose can win this thing. But, I think I think that's where WWE has really hurt themselves. And then, you know, Wade Keller and I on VIP audio that we recorded just before this show, I was struck by the Brian Fritz interview with Vince McMahon, where Vince McMahon talked all this corporate mumbo jumbo. I mean, just the same corporate jargon that, you know, all these guys talk, and there was no talk of the wrestling stars. There's no talk of Roman Reigns. There's no talk of, you know, things are about to happen. It was more like we have this synergy big event, blah blah brand, blah 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 stuff. And so I think that
seemed like Ryan Fritz was there to help promote WrestleMania and not ask any kind of question that anyone with that wasn't interested in, ooh, how are the numbers at WrestleMania doing, got anything out of.
Well, I mean, yeah. So I don't disagree with you.
How many opportunities do you get to sit down with Vince McMahon and ask him questions? Not sit down with him, but still.
Well, I mean, I think that the people who question, who interview Vince McMahon, a few and far between, and there's reasons why. So, access. They're very paranoid about many things, and so they want
American journalism is the need and the desire and the attitude. What they're willing to do and not do to just to have access.
Right, and that's
yeah.
Well, it did used to be if you were strong enough for 40, you got the access anyway. But yeah.
No, look, I was just going to say. I mean, I guess one thing, it's a real compliment to WWE. I mean, I saw Dave Meltzer report that, you know, that sold about 84,000 tickets. Now think about that.
Yeah.
This is an extremely weak card, but they sold 84,000 tickets. I mean, this really is the Comic-Con of professional wrestling. I mean, my hat's off goes to them. I mean, that is amazing that when you look at this card and how weak it is and how poor their TV has been to sell that amount of tickets, they must feel like they're bulletproof in a way. But I'll tell you what, they got to. I wouldn't be resting on my laurels if I was them, but it's still a great effort.
Well, when you know, part of what they're selling, I mean, part of why it's selling is people have had great WrestleMania experiences for the last how many years in a row. So, you know, you can keep – and then once you're over, you get over, and WrestleMania is over as, you know, the biggest show and the biggest social event that it is and all the rest of that stuff. But I very much think that if, you know, if Travis goes this year and he's not as crazy about the lineup, and then next year it happens again and next year it happens again, people are going to drop off. Some people will make it the center point of their lives, and that's what they're looking for. But you can – unbrand, you can lose your brand too. I mean, you can damage your brand if you don't live up to expectations. I definitely think that this 84,000 is people going, this WrestleMania, I've had a great time and I'm going this year. And that doesn't always, that may not last forever, but it certainly lasts for several more years. So Travis, speaking of someone I think who's kind of bummed by, you know, the card, and you signed up before you saw the card, what's your feelings about this?
Yeah, this isn't a strong lineup, understandably so. When we got our tickets in, November or December, it was pretty obvious, like, Cena hadn't gone down yet, but there was no, Seth was already down, Orton, Cesaro, so it was already looking like a pretty paltry card as far as individual star power was going, but again, it's the spectacle and the coming together, you know, the fact that everybody, you know, the meet and greet type aspect from you know, our point of view is with the East Coast cast and what we do. So yeah, so it's a lot more than just six, seven, eight matches that they come up with. That again, it doesn't help though that it is weak. And if next year, no one's excited about the town, at least no one that I know is excited. Oh, it's in Orlando. Can't wait to go to Orlando. So next year, it's going to probably have to be something that we can see 6 months down the road. It's going to be special for me to even attempt to want to be in Orlando.
Travis, cowboy hat, right? Come on. I mean, every Yankee comes down to Texas, they're going to get a big old 10-gallon hat, I mean, I would think. Well, shit. Jason, what else you got for us as we roll to the end?
No, I was just going to say, one thing that I don't like about what they're doing with WrestleMania is that if you're a new subscriber, you can get it for free. I don't like seeing the word free and WrestleMania together from a business point of view. You know, WrestleMania should be special. You should have to pay. I mean, $10 is almost basically free as it is. Although, having said that, when I pay, it converts to USA dollars, so I have to pay $15, $16, but, you know, I'm not complaining. But all I'm saying is that, you know, I don't like the Bruce. I don't like the precedent of setting it as free. That's one thing I don't like.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, UFC, like, sets aside the big shows and goes, no, you're paying the whole price for this one. And I'm really surprised. I mean, this works against McMahon, and it actually works against, you know, even WrestleMania, the high-dollar tickets, the you know, that's where they sell. And so,
yeah. Guess what?
But I guess.
Guess what?
Yeah.
But guess what, Bruce? Daredevil drops next week on Netflix. House of Cards is back. This is back.
Right.
They're not saying, well, our premium shows are, you know, the shows that are going to get people to sign up are coming back. So we're not going to offer that free month that we typically do. That's just standard. You sign up, your first 30 days are free. We're not going to offer that. Because
you know, you're right.
And
you know what, you're
orange
right.
And black is back. So
you're right. I mean, you're right.
Well,
I know that they've looked at those numbers, and they must think that the carryover of, you know, if X amount of people get the free month and they get WrestleMania, we can count on a real percentage of them to just let it roll over every month, that they'll stick with it. And so they've got to think that this is a way to offset they're going to get it for free, who are going to pay $54.
I got a tweet from Rich in Pittsburgh. He says, Jason's got a point, especially when WWE execs are getting bonuses that are tied to subscription levels. So if this is a way to finagle some kind, you know, these boosts, these free things are leading, you know, a large enough percentage of free people to stay on, or at least let it roll over for a month or two for that quarter, and their bonuses go up or something. That could be a part of the motivation.
Well, yeah, but I would imagine that the entire gross is a part of the motivation, and pay-per-view is a part of that too. So, you know, they've got to hope that these people have to roll it over for, what, 6 months to make up for the more than that, seven, 8 months to make up for a WrestleMania buy on pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Jason, appreciate the call. Happy birthday, man. You know, you can come with me. You come on, meet me here in Greensboro, and we'll go up to Johnny's house for his birthday tomorrow. So, or not, I'm not sure.
just give me enough time to book my plane ticket, and I'll come over. I'd love to go to the Carolinas and then to Virginia. So that sounds like fun.
All right, man, that'd be good. But happy birthday! Appreciate your help. Appreciate all the callers except for Johnny Fairplay. And see you on Bruce Mitchell Audio Show and on VIP, and we probably will be doing something with, I mean, I know we are. We're going to do something with the show tomorrow night and live cast every day. Don't forget Jim Valley, his sleeper hit, Saturday Morning Wrestling, 11:30 Eastern Standard Time, 8:30 Pacific Time on Saturday mornings. And people really liking the show, so glad to hear that. All right, Travis, talk.
Thanks, Bruce.